The content of the following program is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or cure. Always consult your physician or a health professional with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition. Want to go higher, baby? You're in the right place. You're listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Anthony Cernelia, Lexi Brinkley. I have Sean Wells in studio, and Marie's in studio with us too. We may get her to talk today. And how's everybody doing on this beautiful day? Right?
Wonderful.
It's a wonderful, beautiful day because we're here. We're alive, and all life matters. And we've got a great show coming up today. We really do. We're going to be talking with Maura Davies here in just a second. Dr. Mike Fencer is going to be talking about diabetes, looking in all the wrong places. That is going to be a good segment, too, because that is part of main thing that we are going to talk about today with Sean Wells, who is an amazing scientist, about what the health is wrong with this country. I'm very passionate about this subject.
Yes.
And you're gonna hear some very passionate talk here today.
Yeah. We'll have two sides, but also we'll be joining on mm-hmm. much of it too. So be good. It'll be a good conversation.
I do think that all people inherently are good for the most part, and they don't want to see what's going on in the food industry. What they see, they don't have to acknowledge. They don't have to, ignorance is bliss.
Totally.
And I ran into a friend downstairs, totally. And she was like, I just can't watch it. And I'm like, you need to watch it. Everyone needs to watch it for no other reason, just to open your eyes to have more awareness about how horrific animals are treated in the farming industry all over the world, and it needs to stop. Mm-hmm. And that's the cancer that we're dealing with. It's a cancer. It's a greed. Greed is cancer, and the reason that they are treated like that, it is all about the money. See how you got me started? I'm supposed to be tired today.
It's a good segue tomorrow.
I know. I haven't slept in days, and I'm very passionate about this. As you can tell, I have such a tender heart, especially when it comes to animals, and I just can't even fathom why other people don't jump on this bandwagon. I'm not saying never eat meat again, mm-hmm. but only eat meat where the animal has been treated properly. And so Maura Davies, the Vice President of Communications from the SPCA of North Texas, how are you doing today?
Doing great. Thank you so much.
Well, and I know
you
are with me. I know you are. And, I have the Humane Economy, the book Animal Protection 2.0, How Innovators and Enlightened Consumers Are Transforming the Lives of Animals by Wayne Pissell. It's a New York Times bestselling book, and he is the president of the Humane Society of the United States. He's also very adamant about this. He wrote a whole book about it. And I pulled this out today, the 10 things that you can do to contribute to the humane economy. Number one, vote with your dollars.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
That's the biggest impact right there.
It is. Hit them where it hurts, mm-hmm. in their pocketbooks. Okay. Number two is eat lower on the food chain. He says, make your food choices a referendum on factory farming, nourishing yourself by eating more plant-based foods, which are better for you, the planet, and animals. Reduce your consumption of meat. If you eat animal products, choose those with the labeling certification global Global Animal Partnership, we've talked about this before, or Animal Welfare Approved or Certified Humane, because it does matter. And again, you vote with your dollars. And we can force them to change their ways by basically cutting off their revenue.
Right.
That's the only way it's going to happen. Number three on this list is join and support the HSUS and other groups that help animals, like the SPCA of North Texas. You can contribute to them. You can volunteer. You guys are always looking for volunteers, are you not?
Very true.
It talks about share information about animal protection. The greatest antidote to cruelty is an informed citizenry. And I couldn't agree more. There's so much good information on the web about animal issues. Find it, access it, and share it with friends and family members on Facebook, Twitter, and other social media. Remind corporate leaders to do the right thing. If you are an investor in a company, write a letter to the CEO about establishing animal welfare policies. Urge the leadership at the company to be conscious about animal welfare issues and urge it to adopt best practices for its industry. Number 9 on this list is travel like an ecotourist. Okay. Pursue eco-friendly destination when you take a vacation. This brand of tourism drives the global economy and benefits nations whose commitment to the needs of wildlife requires habitat preservation and management, law enforcement and ranger work, and other necessary services to protect wild animals and their visitors, and live as if all life matters, right down to the simplest little spider or cockroach, whatever it is. You know, you don't get to just kill something because you don't want it in your world. We're all on this earth together. You know, and I know I'm getting a little far there for some people. They're like, really, Bernadette? Have you really gone that far? But it comes down to that, you know? I mean, unless it's poisonous or something like that, just put it outside. Put it back into the earth where it came from. What do you think about that, Maura? I'm dragging you into this.
No, I agree. No, I'm the person who finds spiders inside the house and takes them outside and says gently, please live out here. This is where you need to live.
You're exactly.
Not inside. It's out here. Please eat the mosquitoes.
Well, that's
your shame.
And they have a place on Earth, too. Have you ever read the book, Be Nice to Spiders? Is that the name of it?
I haven't. I've heard
of
it.
Oh, my gosh.
And yes, spiders are so important.
It's such a good book. And it talks about, you know, this little spider at the zoo. And she goes around and builds webs everywhere and keeps the animals free of flies and mosquitoes and all, you know, all this. And then so they get rid of the spiders to make the zoo look better. And next thing you know, the animals are suffering. So, you know, the moral of the story here is we all have a place on the earth for a purpose. We all have a purpose on the earth. And so let's talk today. This is something, you know, nice we can talk about. How about classroom pets? You know, everybody's going back to school. What is the SPCA's take on classroom pets?
Well, you know, the first thing I want to say is it's so important for the teachers out there to understand that this is a commitment for the life of the pet, and the pet, of course, needs to be treated with love and kindness and receive every bit of medical care, behavioral care that he or she needs.
Mm-hmm.
But having said that, the SPCA of Texas does see a really great place in the classroom for experienced, committed small mammal pet owners. And that can add a lot to the pet's life and the student's life when done properly.
I couldn't agree more. So, yeah. At the Montessori school that my daughter goes to, every single classroom has multiple pets. And they learn to take care of rats, snakes, like all kinds of animals, guinea pigs. They have goats that they care for. And what else do they have back there? They have chickens and they eat the eggs and they sell the eggs. And
it's
animal husbandry. That's what I was trying to. Mm-hmm. That's the term they use, correct?
Yeah, animal husbandry. Yes, proper animal husbandry is so important. And there are so many wonderful teachers out there. I mean, I'm just using my kiddo school as an example. There are several teachers that have classroom pets who, these are beloved pets who receive the utmost in love and care, and that are age appropriate. That's another important factor. So that, you know, perhaps a rabbit is not going to be the best classroom pet for the youngest kiddos. They're so fragile. They really do need that support and gentleness that comes from perhaps older kiddos. My kiddo school has chickens, and they sell the eggs, they take care of the chickens, and it's a huge get-to, as they say, for the kiddos and the different families around to help care for the chickens. So these are the most spoiled chickens in the world. But and they're wonderful. And as you mentioned, there aren't just a couple different kinds of pets that could work for classrooms. People usually think about hamsters or guinea pigs or mice even, but rats, you know, I'm a rat proponent. I love rats.
I do too. I love rats.
Don't forget about the snakes, though. There are different kinds of reptiles and lizards. They can be great too. I mean, even animals that are not cuddly.
Yeah. That's so happened to me in the classroom. Yeah. I can't think of the names. I think it's Cecil was the name of the snake, something like that. And I can't even think. It's a real gentle snake. It goes up into a ball, or do they all do that?
Oh, ball python. That may be. They're very gentle. My nephew has one. They're sweet as pie.
Well,
great pets.
Unless you don't know, they're right behind you and you turn around, it's in your face. I screamed so loud, the whole school heard me. So you got to be careful about that. Make sure you know there's a snake in the classroom if you're afraid of snakes. But but let's talk about a little bit more about, you know, how wonderful this can be for children.
Yes, absolutely. Well, you know, this can be very fulfilling for children, and most importantly, teach them about love and compassion.
Mm-hmm.
When there is an adult in the room modeling the behavior that we all want to see toward pets, this is a great way to get that kindness and compassion, the message of kindness and compassion, to hundreds and hundreds of kids out there. Teaching people to be more compassionate is so important. More compassion is so important. Just as important, I'd say more so, than teaching people how to do math.
Absolutely.
It's all very important, but when you have love and compassion, a lot of other things follow. So there are a lot of resources out there for teachers to bring these pets in and help kids learn other subjects and help kids learn compassion.
Well, empathy and understanding is critical mm-hmm. for your wellness, your peace mm-hmm. of mind. You have to be, you know, a kind person in order to be happy. You mm-hmm. know, those little kittens I picked up, I can't even tell you how much joy they gave me, Maura, for weeks mm-hmm. on end. You know, my favorite place to go in the house was back in the bathroom to go play with the kittens and lay on the floor mm-hmm. and just watch them be silly and play. And, you know, you can, that's another thing you can do. You know, if you have a little, you know, wiggle room in your house where maybe you could foster animals to help organizations like the SPCA, Operation Kindness. A lot of these organizations all over the country need temporary foster homes too. And the joy that mm-hmm. it brings to your heart is just, it's amazing. It really is. At least for me.
And get anyone out there who would love to foster, come check out the SPCA of Texas at spca.org. We have pets that can benefit from it and you'll benefit too. So it's a win-win. Caring for animals is great.
All right. And it's also important to spay and neuter. And please, please adopt from the shelters. If we spay and neuter all the animals and we adopt from the shelters, we could eliminate all the, you know, animals that are put to sleep that are unwanted. We could put that to an end within a matter of a couple of years. So everybody pitch in. Do your part. Maura Davies, thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, everyone. We've got Dr. Mike Fenster coming up. Stay tuned. You're listening to One Life Radio. Hi, this is Bernadette, here to tell you about the world's most trusted hemp extract, Charlotte's Web, by the Stanley Brothers. Charlotte's Web hemp oil contains naturally occurring antioxidants and neuroprotectants. This amazing product is hand-planted and grown using organic farming practices on Colorado family farms. CW has a variety of wellness applications and has achieved global recognition from media coverage of Little Charlotte's amazing success story. All I have to say is thank you, Charlotte's Web, for improving lives with natural Colorado wellness. Visit them at cwhemp.com. That's cwhemp.com. Charlotte's Web, the world's most trusted hemp extract.
Here's the dill pickle. Squatty Potty works. It's awesome. Find yours at your local Bed Bath & Beyond, Amazon, or squattypotty.com. That's squattypotty.com.
Welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with, I almost said Danny Miles, but it's Anthony Cernelia. It'll take me a few weeks to get over it. But, well, you should know, Dr. Fenster, that Anthony Cernelia is on the controls today. That's why you don't have your Metallica.
I was okay little change up there, but I'm sure you will get him.
I'll get him hip.
Straightened out by next week.
I love having you on the show, Dr. Fenster. For people that don't know who you are, that maybe are just joining us for the first time, let me give them your bio. Dr. Mike Fenster is America's culinary interventionalist, affiliate faculty member at the University of Montana and College of Missoula Culinary Arts Program. He is a board-certified cardiologist and author of the books The Fallacy of the Calorie and Why the Modern Western Diet is Killing Us and How to Stop It, and his most recent book, Ancient Eats, and both are currently available for order at chefdrmike.com. That's chefdrmike.com. I got mine at Amazon. on. But you can go to chefdrmike.com and get your copy. Great books. You're a wealth of information. Today we're talking about diabetes and looking in all the wrong places. So after your segment, we're going to be talking about what the health. And so that's one of the main, you know, topics in that film is what is the true cause of diabetes?
Well, you know, it's kind of interesting. And obviously, you know, one of the first things I got some response from some of my fans and, you know, asking about food and diabetes. And one of the things we want to set out first is there are different types. So there's juvenile diabetes that is much more heavily dependent on genetics. And so that is a different disease, if you will, than what we commonly refer to as type 2 diabetes mellitus. Or kind of in the common vernacular, just refer to diabetes. And, you know, most people say, okay, well, you know, my sugar's high. And it is, at its core, an abnormality in the way that we handle glucose, which is the fuel. You know, we talk so much about ingesting sugar and to stay away from that white powdery stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yet when we think about it, it's kind of an interesting bit of a paradox or irony that sugar is really one of the main fuels of our body.
Yeah.
Our body breaks down the things we eat into glucose, and many of our cells use that along with some free fatty acids for fuel. But, you know, what's interesting is when you look at diabetes, and certainly I've been involved with diabetes for decades because there's such a tight link between diabetes and the risk of heart disease. You know, if somebody has diabetes, that puts them at the same risk as somebody who already has a heart attack. And we know, obviously, that is, you know, a major predictor of adverse events in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And at its core, all of this seems to center around inflammation.
Right.
And abnormalities in our immune system. How did these start, et cetera? You know, what's really interesting, and I wrote a little article on the blog at chefdrmike.com, or my folks follow me on Facebook.
Yes, I have it here.
And it irritates me to no end. It was a bit of a rant, as you know I want to do,
mm-hmm.
Because the study came out, and, you know, I get all the journals and updates in my mailbox, and, you know, they're flashing, you know, cardiologists, get out there, tell people to stop, you know, putting salt on their food and, you know, buy the low-salt product, this or that. And when we look at it, what we find, you know, is that there's never been any study that looks at reducing dietary sodium, only reducing dietary sodium and having any beneficial health outcomes,
mm-hmm.
period, full stop, end of discussion. But what we do know, what seems to be so obvious to me and others like yourself, is that where people get salt in their diet is the modern Western diet, all these processed foods.
Right. Well, and it addresses, you know, in the film about chicken, too, Dr. Fenster, about all the sodium that they inject into chickens.
Oh, and water. Per pound.
Mm-hmm.
So you inject salt water in, and all of a sudden my chicken, you know, you're getting a pound of which probably 8 ounces is a glass of salt water.
Wow. That's really disturbing.
It just seems to be, I don't know whether, you know, I'm sure there are influences. I think sometimes we tend to be a little naive and say, well, you know, of course they're just looking out. They have our best interest, our health at heart, if you will. But, you know, there are politics, there is money, there's big business, in this, but, you know, you look at something, for example, and my point being that this whole focus on sodium is really a misdirection.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at the causes of all these chronic disabilities and diseases, of which diabetes is really not just a major one, but sort of a pathway by which folks develop heart attacks and suffer strokes, et cetera, because the immune system is so goofy. What didn't get any play, you know, that I had to dig up because Food Shaman will be out shortly. I finished the manuscript this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Throw that out there.
Nice.
And in researching for that book, you know, a study from Down Under showed that phthalates, which are the plastic compounds found in food wrapping, when they looked at blood levels of those from folks, and they did a study, there was a clear correlation between blood levels and the risk of diabetes, inflammatory markers, you know, and,
mm-hmm.
and sort of that list goes on. So
it's a mess.
Even what's in our food anymore, it's what it's wrapped in.
Right.
But it's all this processing sort of stuff. Or you go back to the whole BPAs that folks talked about not too long ago being, you know, in the liners of cans, plastics and so forth. And there you have it. So I think it's really, we need to start looking at the quality of the foods we eat, where we get them, and really even to the wider environment of food. We've got to look at some of these packaging. You know, we're putting it in containers that are killing us because that stuff leaches out. And they were measuring blood levels of this stuff. So it wasn't, how many, Big Macs did you get that were packaged in this or that? They were actually measuring blood levels of these compounds, in the people in these studies.
Mm-hmm.
That in and of itself is a pretty scary result.
Well, let me ask you this, and you write this in your, I'm reading from your blog, in the face of a rapidly growing diabetes epidemic, individuals have turned to artificially sweetened foods and artificially sweetened beverages during the past 3 decades. What impact do you think that has had on diabetes?
Oh, that's huge, because I think the misperception is that, okay, well, this is a disease, a process that's due to sugar, which it's not. It's due to inflammation, and there's an abnormality of sugar metabolism. But people think, well, I have high sugar in my blood, so I'll stay away from sugar, and I'll use these artificially sweetened beverages. They don't have sugar, so I'm doing a good thing. In pursuit of health, if you will,
mm-hmm.
they make these decisions. I'm not going to gain weight because it's zero calories, etc. What the data is pretty clear about, and I actually wrote this back in The Fallacy of the Calorie. That's how clear the data was back then. But this other meta-analysis showed that artificially sweetened beverages, or ASBs as we call them,
yeah.
increase your risk of developing diabetes by over 20%. But people, what's concerning is people are reaching for these thinking it's a healthy choice.
Right.
And they're not doing themselves any service whatsoever.
Yeah, well, it's really gotten bad. The whole food industry, everybody's confused. People don't know who to believe. It's like it's almost become so political. It's like you've got two camps, the vegetarians and the vegans and the meat eaters, and we're like pitted against one another.
Well, but that's a great tactic. If I don't want you to worry about the packaging, where the food's coming from, about the quality of the
mm-hmm.
food, and be concerned with food production, I just have you guys fight each other.
Right.
And that's what's happening. Folks, head over to chefdrmike.com. Get on that newsletter list. Comes out every week. Pick up copies of the book. This is what we have to. It doesn't matter if you eat meat, if you eat vegetables, if you're vegan. It's about being inclusive, and it's about the quality of the food, and that's where we need to focus
right.
our energies and our argument on, and put moralities on the side. We are literally all in this together. We all are part of this food experience. We need to make it the best we can for all of us, for all of those around us. And that bit of positivity, like you were doing, when you were telling me about cooking, we were talking about cooking last week,
mm-hmm.
and, making that meal that you made and putting that positivity out there, that positive food experience, that's what makes the world a better place. And when we vote with our pocketbook,
mm-hmm.
And we say, hey, we're going to choose the beef that's raised in a very humane way, and it's grass-fed, it's natural. We're going to go for the vegetables that are grown at the local farmer's market, not
mm-hmm.
GMOs sprayed with Roundup. When we vote with our dollars, that's where they have to start paying attention.
Absolutely. It's all about quality and balance. Not too much of anything isn't good for you. And that includes meat. It does, and the source, like you talk about, I know you agree with me, what's going on in the food industry is absolutely horrendous. And I'm speaking specifically
yeah.
about the animal farming industry. It is horrific how those animals are treated, and everyone needs to know about it so that they don't choose that poor quality meat to put inside their bodies.
Well, and the same thing, but you know, it's even bigger than that, I think, Bernadette, because, you know, it's about not saying, hey, I'm not going to eat that grass-fed beef because, you know, I don't want animals. And you're buying corn that's been sprayed with Roundup,
mm-hmm.
and you're ingesting,
right.
you know, glyphosate in your body.
Right.
So, folks, it's everywhere. And that is really the danger. They are cutting us off, forgive the pun, you know, at the roots,
mm-hmm.
if you will.
Yeah.
You know, and we really, really need to get back to having control over the quality of our food. There's some stunning statistics in the new book that's coming out. I mean, when you look at what they've done to the vegetables and the plants, we've lost over 90% of edible plant diversity because of these
wow.
mega corporations and the industrial production of fruits and vegetables.
Yeah.
That is a huge danger. I mean, plants are on the endangered list,
yep.
So to speak. So we definitely, all those great listeners you have out there, you know, shop with your dollars, pay attention, be conscious of your food choices.
Absolutely. And some heads need to roll, okay? Some heads need to roll here.
Yes, they do.
I'm going to get a hold of some of my connections. I'm just joking, of course.
Let us have a trial by fire. That would be a great cooking competition, right?
Yeah, it would. Always love having you on the show. Thank you so much, Dr. Mike Fenster.
Thanks.
All right, everyone. He's America's culinary interventionalist. Great guy. I've always loved having him on the show. And we've got another great guy coming up, Sean Wells. He is a certified sports nutritionist and fellow through the very prestigious International Society of Sports Nutrition. Stay tuned. You're listening to One Life Radio.
Today, we're here to tell you about the success of Squatty Potty. Consumers are experiencing the healthful benefits from having the correct posture when eliminating the toxic and harmful fecal waste from their bodies. Now, Squatty Potty has made it portable. Introducing Porta Squatty. Now you can experience the healthful benefits no matter where the road takes you. It easily folds up and fits into a discreet carrying bag the size of a book. Porta Squatty. Available at Bed Bath Beyond, Amazon, or for an exclusive discount of 25% off your entire order, use code One Life at checkout at SquattyPotty.com.
Hi, this is Vaughn Eaglin. As a licensed professional counselor and supervisor, I spend my career helping people cope with emotional problems. But today, I want to talk to you about nutrition. People ask me all the time for nutrition and weight loss advice, and I always find myself recommending a raw vegan protein, a food supplement called Warrior Blend by Sun Warrior. I wasn't always active and fit. In fact, I was very overweight as a child. And as a counselor, I must emphasize the importance of the mind-body connection. A clean body helps with a clean mind. Start today with Sun Warrior Blend Raw Vegan Protein. For more information, go to sunwarrior.com and start living clean today.
Hey, this is Sean Wells of the International Society of Sports Nutrition. One Life Radio is proud to partner with the ISSN. The ISSN is the world's leading scientific organization dedicated to the science of supplements and sports nutrition. For their latest conferences and events, go to theissn.org. That's theissn.org.
Welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with, I've got Anthony Cernelia. I almost did it again. It's going to take me a while. Danny Miles is, he's in Canton, New York. He was at the game last night, and or not New York. I keep saying New York. It's Ohio, but there is a Canton, Ohio. New York, but he's in Ohio. Anyway.
What?
What?
Anyway, I'm tired. I haven't slept in days. I really haven't. I've been worried about my friend and, you know, praying that she's going to get well. And we'll see. But I haven't slept very well. And so my head's a little off. I'm a little punchy, you know. But welcome back to One Life Radio. We love doing the show. I've got Sean Wells in studio with me. He is a certified sports nutritionist and fellow through the very prestigious International Society of Sports Nutrition. He has been dubbed one of the world's greatest formulators. And he has credentials in the fields of business, clinical work, sports, exercise, and nutrition, making for a unique and highly respected blend of expertise as CEO of Zone Halo Research. He is also a registered dietitian and has his Master's of Public Health in Nutrition Biochemistry. Check out his site, zonehalo.com, and Instagram at zonehalo. Okay, today we're talking about the Netflix documentary, the sensational new documentary on Netflix that has seemed to create a lot of controversy and a lot of people talking about going vegan, and in the spirit of so many food documentaries and diet books that have come before, What the Health Promises Us, there is one healthy way to eat, and it involves cutting all animal products from our diet. But we're going to dissect this with you, the world's greatest formulator and scientist, who you really do know so much. It's incredible the amount of information that your brain holds. So I am going to ask you first, Sean. Okay. I know that you eat meat and eggs and cheese and that you're a non-vegan, correct?
This is correct.
This is true. You are a keto king.
Yeah, exactly. A ketogenic diet. It is possible to be a vegan ketogenic dieter, but it would be a little harder.
It is a little harder.
A lot of the foods I eat are high fat, like you're saying, like meat, eggs, cheese. But I also eat, like macadamia nuts, walnuts, chia seeds, olive oil, coconut oil. And you know how coconut oil took a beating recently by the American Heart Association. And I think all those things are really good things. And I am an omnivore, which means that I eat plants and meat. And that's what our species has been for hundreds of thousands of years. I think recently there's definitely been people that are vegans. Part of that decision, like to even call yourself a vegan, I think obviously there's the ethical component, but there's also the complexity of so much processed food that you have to define what vegan means versus vegetarian.
Mm-hmm.
And that wouldn't have even been a discussion a few hundred years ago.
Right.
Vegetarian would have been enough, say that. But now, because of certain oils and the way things are prepared, you know, like all these kind of things, that there's complexity to it. And it's just because processed food is everywhere.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, mine is mostly moral and of course, my health. I want to be the healthiest I could possibly be. You know, there's lots of products out there. I brought this in. This is a Daiya Deliciously Dairy-Free Supreme Pizza that I had a couple of days ago. And I got to tell you, it was pretty good. It really was. And I looked at the ingredients and they seem reasonably healthy. I mean, you know, for what they're trying to accomplish. And it's committed to non-GMO and all those things that you hear all about. But, you know, it is difficult to eat vegan. It really is. So in the documentary, What the Health, you know, they think that they make sense on so many levels. And so, you know, I eat vegetarian often. Mm-hmm. And so am I doing my body an injustice by eating that way? Tell me.
No, I don't think so. Like, you know, I was talking about this with a friend the other day that, you know, one of the reasons I think keto is interesting is, like, we've talked about it, like, we're dual fuel. Like, we can have ketones and we can have glucose for fuel. And I think, like, if you look back at our evolutionary past, we were probably what I'd call metabolically flexible. During the summer, spring, fall months, let's say, like, we were probably eating mostly vegetarian.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you looked at like all these tribes and different things, especially before there was like ways to store food or, you know, prep food in certain ways that you could have it for long periods of time. And then during the winter, we were probably eating meat. And so like, I think there was a flexibility there but probably the majority of the time we were largely eating, vegetarian. So the thing is in this documentary, it's very sensational. Like they claim that processed meats are group 1 carcinogen according to the American Cancer Society. And it's the same as there's other group 1 carcinogens like plutonium and asbestos. And that's really alarmist. And it kind of sets the tone for basically like how they're going to execute on this documentary. There's a lot of things I believe that are correct in the documentary.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of,
I do too.
A lot of things that make sense that I think is a good thing to have a discussion about.
Mm-hmm.
But then some of it, like the science is definitely skewed off, you know, that they're making jumps.
Yeah, but isn't all science kind of skewed in the sense that they tend to pick whatever works for their agenda?
That's the biggest part of science. That's frustrating, and it's hard. It's super hard. Like, you know, when you hear double blind placebo control, that's that's so that like both the participants and then the people that are running the study aren't biased.
Right.
And then when people do like a meta analysis, like you can choose certain studies that kind of fit your mold,
right?
And you can make the outcome come out your way, and that's called cherry picking. You know, so like. There's a lot of that in science, absolutely. Like, you know, people, and then you have to look at the funding, right? You can set up the study design to basically elicit the result you want.
Yeah.
So like when Coca-Cola pays for a study, it's going to be different than like when, you know, some like the government's paying for a study or, you know, that university's paying for a study. And certainly there's bias like has a huge role in this. There's something called selection bias, like, you know, picking certain things, cherry picking. Then there's like confirmation bias, like when you're, you know, which happens in this documentary, like, you know, he's saying, I found this study that fits what I'm saying, so I'm going to tell you about this one study, but I'm not going to tell you about the study that conflicts with what I'm saying and tell you why I think that one's wrong. Which is where I think he kind of misses the boat. Like, but yeah, absolutely. Science can be so biased.
It
absolutely.
Can. Well, you know, Dr. Neil Barnard, who was featured in the film, I actually have his book, The Cheese Trap, How Breaking a Surprise Addiction Will Help You Lose Weight, Gain Energy, and Get Healthy. He's due on the show, I think, coming up here in a few weeks. But, you know, in his book, it talks about money and politics. It talks about, you know, every 5 years, the U.S. government revises the dietary guidelines for Americans. And these guidelines are the blueprint for all nutrition programs in the U.S. and a model for many other countries as well. The revision is led by a committee appointed by the USDA and the Department of Health and Human Services. It goes on to say that the committee hearings, and this is the part that like really bothers me about what's going on in all of the food industry, the meat industry, the dairy, all of it, even, you know, just it's all connected. It is all connected. But it goes on to say the committee hearings are a spectacle to behold. The committee members take their seats on a stage in a large auditorium. In front of them, a microphone is plugged in, and one by one, speakers step up to make a 3-minute pitch. Representatives from the National Dairy Council, the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, the Sugar Association, the Salt Institute, the Chocolate Council, the liquor industry, and everyone else with something to sell, tell the committee members why their products should be part of the American diet. There's something very wrong with that.
Well, yeah, that's the bias we were just talking about.
Right.
But absolutely. So like you were just talking about, like, I definitely think that like, let's say like liquor, you know, sugar, like you were just saying, like those things, you know, can't always be good for your health either. And like, you know, this documentary presents that animal products are basically what's killing you. But I would argue that that's potentially some of it, but it's also processed foods. I think that's really what's at play here.
Well, that's where I was going next, but I'm going to save it because we're going to break. Can't wait. Everybody stay tuned. This is great stuff coming up. You're listening to One Life Radio.
Did you know that hemp has been used for a variety of wellness needs for thousands of years? And now, thanks to the Stanley Brothers in Colorado, you can now get Charlotte's Web, the most trusted whole plant hemp extract in the world. Charlotte's Web is a proprietary whole plant hemp extract that contains all of the beneficial and naturally occurring antioxidants and neuroprotectants. In fact, in 2003, the federal government recognized the beneficial effects on human health and obtained a U.S. patent titled Cannabinoids and Antioxidants. For more information and to get educated about Charlotte's Web, visit cwhemp.com. That's cwhemp.com. Charlotte's Web, the world's most trusted hemp extract.
Call us crazy. We don't mind. Crazy Water's all-natural mineral water has been making people feel good inside and out since 1881. As the only mineral water bottled in Texas, their water boasts loads of benefits that other bottled waters can only envy. Pretty crazy, huh? Find it at your local Whole Foods, HEB, Central Market, or have it shipped right to your door. Visit them at drinkcrazywater.com. That's drinkcrazywater.com.
There's no easier way to add color to your life than to decorate your home and garden with lights. They aren't just for Christmas. Pink, teal, purple, light up your yard, dorm room, or add sparkle to your birthday party. Find every color under the sun online at ChristmasLightSource.com. That's ChristmasLightSource.com.
Welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Anthony Cernelia, Lexi Brinkley, and I have Sean Wells in studio. I want to let everyone know that you can listen to our podcast from Stitcher, Google Play, iTunes, and TuneIn. You can go to our website, oneliferadio.com, to subscribe to our weekly newsletter. We will not share your email address with anyone else. We put great stuff in it every week. What's in it this week? Lexi, anything? Anything?
We'll be working on it. I don't.
Okay, I caught her off guard. I love it when that happens.
Yeah.
What the health will be in there? We'll be talking about health.
We'll be talking, but you know, go to our iHeartMedia or go to iHeartMedia.com and listen live from your mobile device or download the free iHeartRadio app and listen to us from anywhere in the world. And again, a big shout out to our sponsors because they bring this programming to you. They really do care about you. They are great companies. Crazy Water, it's great. Alkaline, alkaline, the proper. Level, what is it? 7.
pH, yeah.
The pH, yeah. So it's alkaline water.
Right.
And it's full of minerals too. And if you're crazy, it'll help you be less crazy. It really will because it helps your brain.
It does have a little lithium in it.
Yes,
actually.
It does. Yeah. It does. And Charlotte's Web is a great company too. CW Hemp, I take my hemp extract every morning. Once in a while, I forget, but it's really a great product. All their products are. And of course, Squatty Potty. We talk about the Squatty Potty all the time. It's a great device. It's a game changer. And the ISSN, that's the International Society of Sports Nutrition. These guys do their science. They do their scientific research to bring the best nutrition advice to you, straight to you. And
I was actually on a protein position stand. I helped write a good bit of it. And it's the number one most read research article in the world right now.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, you know, a lot of my protein comes from Sun Warrior because, of course, it's plant-based, mm-hmm. raw vegan, mm-hmm. And I feel like I'm doing my part, even if it's just one protein shake a day so that animals don't suffer as much. It's a great company, too. One of the original, pioneers of the vegan raw food, raw protein movement in this country. So you know what? I was drinking mine this morning. So how many grams of protein, real quick, does the average human need? About 60 grams a day?
That's for to prevent deficiency. Yeah.
Really? Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. And what else do you want to say about it? What was the main point in the paper?
Yeah. Well, there's
sorry
a lot.
To get off
there's
task.
A ton.
But
it's very, very long. Mm-hmm. But with plant protein, you do need. There is a study comparing plant proteins to whey. You either need to add leucine to it,
which they have in their products, Sun Warrior, right. Leucine and lysine, both, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or you need to take about twice as much. So.
Okay.
It's relevant to know that plant proteins aren't necessarily equivalent to some of the other
right.
animal proteins.
And you have to read mm-hmm. your labels. And so
yeah.
Sun Warrior covered that for you. You don't have to worry about that if you're using Sun Warrior because it's a complete full amino acid profile with the leucine and the lysine in
mm-hmm.
it, right?
Yes.
All right. So we're talking about What the Health, this documentary
yes.
that's been on Netflix that has got the whole country talking. Have you seen What the Health? Oh, my gosh, I'm freaked out. You know,
yeah.
It's kind of scary and it's disturbing to see the images of the animals and how they're treated. But I think everyone needs to be aware because of what they're putting in their body, and your health is your wealth. You want to have a rich, you know, long life, a really good life. And that includes being healthy and fit and happy and
yeah.
all those things. And so right before the break, we were talking about processed foods. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, I noticed in the film that he talks about processed meats, but he didn't talk or mention processed grains and foods that are vegan friendly. So what do you say to that?
So, yeah, that's a really important point because I agree with him about, you know, certainly, you know, if you put the ethics part aside, and I would say, like with food, to look for organic, grass-fed, grass-finished, cruelty-free, antibiotic-free, hormone-free, all that kind of stuff, absolutely, 100%. And like we've said, you know, like artificial sweeteners, colors, flavors, you know, get rid of those too. So that means that we're definitely on board for whole foods and getting rid of processed foods. And to me, that also includes the processed meat. So I agree with him about that.
Mm-hmm.
And then saying all animal-based foods are bad, that's a different discussion. Certainly, ethically, you make that argument. But I would say that they're not necessarily unhealthy. I think we're adapted to consume them. But certainly, mm-hmm. we're removed from the process. Like, you know, you think about, we were talking about just before, like a Native American, if he made a kill, like with his bow and arrow, like he would pray over that animal,
mm-hmm.
and then they'd slaughter the animal.
Right.
And they have an understanding of that animal's place and role in the ecosystem, you know?
Right.
And it's very different from how far removed we are now, like to just picking up a package in the grocery store, you have no sense of like what happened along the way, and you have no sense of if there was cruelty, if there was hormones, if, you know, like what has been happening up until this point.
And look at all the meat that we throw in the garbage in this country mm-hmm. every single day. You know, I'm telling you, that in itself, I'm like, oh my gosh, that animal gave its life for you. You do not get to throw it in the trash. I'm sorry. You bring it home in a little napkin, you give it to your dog or whatever.
Right.
You know, you don't just throw it in the trash. That is such a violation of the earth and everything that's moral, in
right.
my opinion.
Right. But to go back to the processed foods, even like, so like, obviously, processed meats, like we said, not so great. But they don't mention like GMO corn, soy, and wheat, which aren't so great, and gluten intolerance, which is a growing issue, like with the wheat, the soy, and that's because of it being GMO and the way it's grown here. Soy is potentially cancer causing with the phytoestrogens and disrupts the endocrine system. Corn is the source of maltodextrin and high fructose corn syrup, which fills our candies and sodas mm-hmm. and all this kind of crap. And those are all vegan. And then what about like the pro-inflammatory canola oil, which we've talked about so much, which is basically rancid under high heat, and then they deodorize it and bleach it, and then they give it to us to consume. And, you know, these are things that are vegan friendly, mm-hmm. but they're not healthy. And so it always goes back to me, like I agree on some level with some of the stuff he's talking about, but not all of it, because you know, if you're going to throw processed meat under the bus, fine. Throw processed everything under the bus.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Well, and I'm looking at this pizza thing thinking, oh my gosh, let me look at this. I'm going to have you look at this before mm-hmm. you leave the studios today. But, you know, you do have to watch everything you eat. And it talks in here about, you know, non-GMO expeller. And this is a question I want to ask you. I know we're going to run out of time here, but non-GMO expeller pressed canola oil, is that even possible?
It is. If it's cold pressed, it is potentially.
If it's cold pressed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But canola oil, it has to go through so much processing with the hexane and all that
yes,
stuff
exactly.
to even turn it into oil. We were talking during the break about how we wish one of the leaders in the grocery industry would, you know, get rid of canola oil. We were talking about Whole Foods specifically, like completely get yeah. canola oil out of their system.
Yep.
And then also the receipts that they
yes.
use in grocery and retail everywhere. I have cancer-causing inks on them that are so incredibly bad for
and
you.
Yeah, even the coating on the paper too,
yep.
along with the ink. So yeah,
yep.
unfortunately, like, yeah, people are getting exposed to all these carcinogens.
Yep.
And like we were just talking about with Dr. Fenster, the packaging, that wrapping, you know, all the plastic bottles we're drinking from, the plastics, the styrofoam containers that foods are in, the plastic forks that you're using to eat them, the straws that are in your cup, and then the styrofoam that's, you know, has the liquid, and almost everything we're eating and drinking has all these plastics and phthalates and all this stuff in it, these carcinogens.
Anthony, did you want to ask something?
Well, just like trisodium phosphate. If you read what that's in and what it's used for as a cleaning agent, a lubricant, mm-hmm. food additive, stain remover.
Golly. What do they do in food with it? What's the purpose?
It's in our cereal.
Yeah, it's
a
sodium source.
Oh my gosh. Okay. All right. I'm going to go to this because I know you're a keto guy, okay? Because
yeah.
I was thinking about you when I was watching it, you know, when he was talking about high fat. So
yeah.
I know how you feel about high fat diets being healthy, given you're a ketogenic dieter. And this guy Kip in the documentary says that high fat diets are dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
Cholesterol in food is dangerous, and saturated fat and sodium is dangerous. Thoughts?
Yeah, and Dr. Fenster and I have talked about this quite a bit, and basically it's just the American Heart Association that's outdated here. But we've talked
mm-hmm.
about how they're getting funding
right.
from all these different
Mother.
Food groups.
Mm.
Yeah. And so, you know, going back to that whole bias thing, it's like, who's paying for these people to give that science, right? Mm-hmm. So that's what you were talking about before. And clearly, like, you know, eating coconut oil and eating whole food and, you know, animals don't eat around the fat. They don't like so. And like Dr. Fencer was saying, like that if you take the sodium out of some of these populational studies, if you take the processed food out, then sodium isn't bad. And actually it's actually positive related to health, just like fat is and saturated fat. And cholesterol doesn't even contribute to endogenous cholesterol, like in the body.
Well, and he talks about the quality of the meat. Again, you see these animals in these small cages. You have to see it. You have to face it. Right. Our whole country has to face what we're doing. The whole world needs to face it because it needs to stop. And Dr. Johnny Bowden talked about, you know, the toxicity of that fat from those animals.
Yeah.
And you're taking that right into your body, whether you like it or not. So it's important. We need to speak with our pocketbooks. We really do.
And we need to see it, like you're saying, like, you know, we don't need to be so far removed from it. If we're seeing it, then some of these loopholes that they're going through, like they wouldn't get away with, like when they're saying, you know, cage free or cruelty free, but basically they're still in a cage, but it doesn't have a roof.
There's no laws to protect animals, and there needs to be.
Right. There's all kinds of loopholes that they're exploiting that unless you're there to see it, unless there's advocates out there that are looking, that we're not going to know.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have two words to say about all of it. It's mother. That's how I feel about it. It's terrible what they're doing. But you know what? Just talking about it brings awareness.
Absolutely.
We all need to come together. We all care about each other. We're all on this earth together, and we can change it. We really can. So thank you so much, Sean Wells, for being in studio. Always a pleasure. Everyone out there, thank you for listening. I got to give a big shout out because I want you to know that you can find Sun Warrior and Squatty Potty both now at the Vitamin Shop. And they've got great new signage. I went by one of their places today. It was really pretty. You know, I'm funny about that. I like things to be aesthetically really pretty. And their new logo and signage and everything is really good. Really good. Whoever did it did a great job. Anyway, everyone, you know what? You get one body, you get one life, and you get one mind. Get out there today and make the most of it.